Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. I am Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode, I have Derek Carty on from RotoGrinders to talk about the upcoming Major League Baseball season. We go through the AL and NL awards, Cy Young, MVP. We looked at some of the over-unders for wins and odds for specific MLB teams to make the playoffs, and using the Daily Roto projections, the stat engine, and Derek Carty's The Bat projection system. We made some projections and some bets based on those. I actually made some bets live while we were recording the podcast because some of the numbers just seemed pretty tantalizing. We also talked about some other specific player props, some home runs, some strikeouts, and some stuff like that. So just to get you guys ready for the baseball season, did some baseball betting analysis and some chatter. We are, of course, sponsored by Daily Roto and Roto Experts. You can save 10% off on Daily Roto products using the promo code RORY, and you can save 10% off the Roto Experts NFL 365 package, which is headed up by yours truly using my last name, Mattek. You can get the NFL 365 package for $39.99, 10% off using the promo code Matic. And if you do buy the Roto Experts NFL 365 package, you get a 20% off discount on the Daily Roto premium tools for NFL. So definitely something worth considering. And now let's get into the show. Hello, everyone. Would like to welcome back my old friend Derek Carty to the program. You were on 2 or 3 months ago, and we talked a little bit about the methodology for the blitz and some of the math behind that. How did you enjoy the NFL season, and how has the baseball offseason been treating you?
Oh, NFL was great. I mean, NFL is so much fun. You know, the blitz had a really, really strong year, and I really enjoyed it. It's only my second year doing NFL, but I'm really having a good time with it.
Yeah. And so I wanted to have you on because, as listeners to the show know, I love to gamble, and the biggest season that is upon us right now is the baseball season. And every time there's a new season in sports, there's new stuff to gamble on. So for the first time on this show, we are going to do an MLB season preview, but we are going to do it through the lens of looking at some over-unders for season wins, odds to win the AL and NL Cy Young and MVP awards, and then some player props. And then we'll get into a little bit of DFS methodology stuff towards the end. So starting out on over-unders for season wins, were any of these lines, you know, kind of outrageously bad to you? Was there a total when you looked through that you seemed right away like that has to be bad?
Yeah, and I'm going to say it, and people, especially if you're only like a casual baseball fan, like if you're just starting to do your MLB prep, you're going to think I'm absolutely insane. But the Chicago Cubs opened at like 93 wins or like just something absolutely insane. And the Cubs are potentially not going to be very good this year. And I think people are going to be shocked by that. But I have the Cubs as a sub 500 team.
So that makes me feel good. So before I even looked at any of the bat methodology stuff, before I even looked at any of the Daily Roto math, I went through and I made a list of four bets that I wanted to get your opinion on. And the first one that I had on the list was Chicago Cubs to miss the playoffs at even money.
Yeah, I have the Chicago Cubs, like I said, sub 500. Projected third in the division and out of the playoffs. So I would bet that side of it. Like, they have the name value, like they have, you know, they're the Cubs and they have a bunch of good players, but they also have a bunch of bad players and their rotation is getting older and worse. And I'm not a big fan of the Cubs at all this year.
So what is for the casual people? I assume a lot of people who are listening to this, probably this might even be the first MLB podcast they've listened to. What is the biggest difference for them for like the last 2 years and this upcoming season?
It sounds almost like a cop-out to say it, but honestly, age. Age has a big part of it, like especially their starting rotation. Like, Lester is getting older and bad. Cole Hamels is getting older and not very good. You know, their bullpen isn't quite as strong as it's been in the past. A bunch of their guys are coming off, you know, bad years. You know, Brian and Rizzo are coming off not very good years. Addison Russell is not going to be in the lineup for a bunch of it because of his suspension. Like Javier Baez, as great as he was last year, it was his first year as better than a league average hitter. Like, he's not going to stay this good. And so you factor in some regression for some of these guys. You look that they do have some holes in the lineup, like Albert Almora Jr. and Jason Hayward, and like they're not very good hitters. And so they have holes, they have aging problems. Like, they're just, you know, their rotation kind of lacks some depth beyond their front four, or the front five, I guess, rather. There's a lot of question marks with the Cubs.
Yeah, I tend to agree with all of that. My uninformed opinion was more just that the Cubs are always going to have that name value in the line, and their odds to make the playoff did not necessarily line up with the opening win total. It's actually been bet down right now on some of the offshore books. The regular season wins line for them is 88. Where would you stand on 88 wins?
I'd still take the heavy under. I have them projected for 80 wins.
That's definitely a good bet. And I guess probably one of the things with MLB teams that you want to be considering is waiting in age. You know, older players, they're more likely to take stints to the DL. As you mentioned, their rotation is all full of a bunch of really old pitchers. So that one right there, that seems like probably the best place to start.
Yeah, that's absolutely where I would start.
So overs on season-long bets, in general, the over on a lot of these bets is not good, right? Because so many things have to go right for overs to go well. But one of the overs that I did like was the Atlanta Braves over 86. They have, you know, what I think is probably an underrated lineup and a fairly decent pitching rotation. Where do you stand on Braves over 86 wins?
I would take the under on the Braves, actually. I think you're completely right about their lineup. I think their lineup is actually going to be sneaky good this year, especially if Josh Donaldson is healthy. Donaldson was a big pickup for them. He still projects as one of the better hitters in the game, and that's a huge, huge upgrade. But, you know, Ronald Acuna was out of this world last year. He's going to regress a little bit. You know, they still have some guys, you know, Nick Markakis, I don't think he's going to hit 20 home runs or whatever he hit last year. Like, there's going to be some regression, but the lineup is going to be very, very good. The big issue for me, really, is that I don't think their rotation is very good at all. I think go ahead.
No, I'm saying I'm eager to hear your opinion on the rotation.
Yeah, so, like, for one thing, they don't have an ace. They don't even really have a number two. You know, Mike Foltynewicz is the closest they have, and a lot of people think he's really good. Like, he had a great year last year on the surface. You know, his ERA was like 2.5 or something. But all of his peripheral indicators were closer to 4. And that was the best year of his entire career. He has great stuff. He has great upside. But there's big regression coming no matter what for him, based on his peripherals, based on his history. And now he's dealing with an elbow injury. So, you know, their best pitcher – probably not a great bet to even pitch, you know, a full season or three quarters of a season. Like, I'm worried. So Folty's their best guy. He has issues. And then behind him, like, they have some young guys who have upside, but none of these guys actually project as much better than, you know, above average pitchers right now. You know, Newcomb is fine. You know, they have Tuki Toussaint, who people are excited about. They have Mike Soroka, who's also dealing with injuries that people are kind of excited about. Max Fried. They have a bunch of these young guys. Kyle Wright at some point could come up. But, like, these young guys, you know, they weren't overwhelming in the minors. They're not guys who project to be much better than, like, 4.25 ERA pitchers. You know, their actual next best pitchers are guys like Sean Newcomb and Kevin Gausman and Julio Teheran. And, like, these guys are going to get a bunch of innings because they're the established veterans. So as much as you might like the young guys, you know, these older guys, these veterans who are not very good, are going to be eating up the bulk of the rotation's innings. Yeah. Again, they're not very good. So I don't really think a lot of this Braves rotation.
So if you wanted to take the over, if you had the same mind as me, you'd be projecting health for Donaldson and projecting, like, continued improvement from Acuna, good seasons from their catcher spot with McCann and Flowers, and that, like, Ozzie Albies has a good season. So maybe this one is closer to a no bet. I do have a stone lock, though, an absolute No way it fails. The Kansas City Royals win total right now is 69.5. The under on that is like, that is like an annuity. That is a governmental savings bond that you can just count on that money accruing for you over the next 6 months.
God, the Royals are going to be like, the Royals are going to be so bad. Their offense is awful, especially like, it's so sad to say, but their best hitter was their catcher, Salvador Perez, who is now out for the year. Like, their offense is just atrocious.
He's been – so Salvador Perez gone is now going to be replaced by a negative war hitter, Martin Maldonado, who will be splitting time with Cam Gallagher, who is like – I don't even really think he was never even really a prospect. So their lineup is something like this. Whit Merrifield, Alberto Mondesi, Alex Gordon, Jorge Soler, Ryan O'Hearn, Hunter Dozier, and then some combination of, you know, Billy Hamilton, Jorge Bonifacio. It's all bad.
It's really bad. When Alex Gordon is your number three hitter, there's a problem.
Yeah. So, and it's not like this is like a good pitching team either. They don't have good pitching either.
No, I do think their pitching is a little better than people think. Like, I think Danny Duffy's a perfectly fine pitcher.
Yeah,
Duffy's fine. Yeah, I think Jacob Junis made some improvements last year that make him an okay pitcher. Brad Keller, I think, is an okay pitcher. Like, I mean, that's kind of the nicest thing we can say here. Like, these guys are okay pitchers. They're above average pitchers. But, you know, I think some people, they think they're just awful, and that's not the case. They're okay.
Yeah. So are you in agreement with me that this team does not win 70 games?
I have them under 70 games. Not by a ton. I think I have them at like 67.5, but I would take the under of the two.
Yeah. I think this is a 100 loss baseball team almost for sure, but that's like a little bit of a negative reverse homering. So the other one that I had written down was the Colorado Rockies to make the playoffs at plus money, probably depending on your book. The book that I'm looking at has it at plus 195 with a total of right around 85 games. What do you have for the Rockies?
I have the Rockies at 81, 82 wins. So for me, I think the Rockies are an underdog to make the playoffs. It's kind of tough just because, like, the National League this year, they have a bunch of teams that are going to be competing really closely for those wild card spots. You know, none of the wild cards project for more than 85 wins. It's a bunch of teams just clumped between 80 and 85 for me. And I think the Rockies are in that, but there are teams that I prefer a little bit more than them.
I think probably the thing that's driving it for me is David Dahl is seeming like he's a very good MLB hitter. Maybe not very good, but definitely good. So like the combination of their 2 through 5, Murphy, Dahl, Arenado, Story, just seems like a playoff baseball team lineup.
Yeah. I guess the big thing really is going to come down to how good is Dahl. And I'm not convinced that if you put Dahl in a park that isn't Coors Field, he would be any better than a league average hitter. If he winds up being better than that, that would go a long way. And then I think kind of some of their other holes worry me a little bit. Like Ian Desmond is probably going to be, you know, maybe their opening day center fielder, and he's not very good. Like, we don't know what they're going to do at second base yet, whether it's McMahon or Hampson or if it's Valleca, God help the Rockies. And then catching-wise, they don't have a lot of great hitters. There's probably going to be a lot of at-bats going to Tony Walters because of his defense, but his bat is atrocious. So
yeah, he's really bad.
A little bit on how playing time shakes out and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not great. What are your opinions on the Rockies rotation? Do they have some guys who can hold their own in Coors Field?
Absolutely. I actually really like the Rockies rotation. I think all five of their projected rotation members are legitimately good pitchers. You know, there's a lot of hype around, obviously, Germán Márquez and Kyle Freeland. But, you know, I think John Gray is going to bounce back a little bit. And I think Senzatella and Tyler Anderson are kind of underrated. I think they're both really solid pitchers. Of course, they all have to pitch in Coors Field. You know, from a fantasy context, like, I'm not excited about really any of them. But, you know, in terms of real life, they have, you know, five legitimately good starters. The problem is if any of them gets hurt or struggles, they have almost nothing behind them. They have just absolute dumpster fire garbage behind them. And that, I think, could hurt them because no team really gets through a season with five starters healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a very real thing. So you would lean on the side of this being a no bet. So the ones that we agree on are the Royals and the Cubs. Do you have any others that leapt out at you as bettable on season totals?
Those were the main ones for me. I think I might take the over on the Twins. I think the Twins are going to be – do you have their line right now?
Yes. The Twins, they are 50-1 for the World Series, and their total for the season is 84.5, and they are +235 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I like all of those bets. I have the Twins as the second wild card. I have them winning over 89 games. I think the Twins this year are going to be sneaky good, especially because that division is sneaky bad. The Indians, I think, are going to win it based on the quality of their pitching, but the Indians hitting this year is really, really bad. So there's even a chance that the Twins, I think, could win that division. That's not what I'm betting on, but I think there's enough of a chance of that, enough of a chance of them getting a wild card that they're a bet that I would take the over on.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point, is the White Sox are horrible, the Royals are horrible, the Tigers are horrible. So, yeah, I mean, someone's got to pick up wins in that division. Why couldn't it be the Twins?
That's exactly it. And they made a lot of good additions. Like, they added Nelson Cruz this winter. They added Marvin Gonzalez. They added Jonathan Scope. They added Michael Pineda, who, if he bounces back to anything close to what he used to be, their rotation is going to be sneaky good. Jose Barrios is looking like potentially an ace at this point. I think the Twins are going to surprise some people.
Big Jose Barrios guy. That's a dude I pitch on DraftKings way, way too often.
I think I'm going to be with you this year for sure, especially if he's not priced like an ace. Like, if he's like a 9K guy for a lot of the year, I'm going to be very much about that.
I actually think that he will be, and the range of outcomes projections at Daily Roto are always going to love his you know, the upper echelon strikeout performances that he does have.
Yep, for sure.
So now those are some of the overall season win totals. Wanted to move to some more player specific ones, odds to win AL Cy Young. So one of the ones that I had written down was Luis Severino at +800 or 8-1, but probably not near as good now that he is injured.
Yeah, I would have been all over that before the injury. Now I think it's probably pretty fair. Severino is, you know, I did a whole Twitter thread on him earlier in the offseason, and Yankees fans got really mad at me about it for saying that Luis Severino is one of the best pitchers in baseball, because he is. Luis Severino is fantastic, and he's great. And in terms of Cy Young awards, where people care about wins, like, he has great run support. The only issue right now is the injury and how severe that's going to be, and whether he's going to be any worse because of it or how much time he's going to miss. You know, I love Severino. I think those odds on him are pretty fair.
Yeah, 8-1, 8-1. You're right, exactly. It does seem just sort of fair. What do you think about James Paxton at 18-1? When I showed these odds to Michael Leone at Daily Roto, he mentioned to me that a full season of health from James Paxton could get him close to this one.
Yep, he was one of the guys that stuck out to me when I looked at this list. Paxton at 18-1. Paxton is, I think, when he pitches, one of the 10 best pitchers in baseball. That's how the bat projects him. And like Severino, he's going to get run support from the best offense in baseball. And so really the only thing holding him back is that health, is how many games he's going to start. I don't think he's ever topped like 160 innings in a season, but if he gets over 200 this year, he's going to be in the Cy Young discussion. So those are, I think, pretty good odds on him.
Yeah, 160 was his innings last year. He had a K minus walk ratio of 25%, so just like completely uber elite. And you know, he seems to be kind of near league average in like some of the bad luck, like batting average on balls in play, left on base and stuff. So I actually think there's room for him to like run even hotter than he did last year when he was incredible.
I think it's entirely possible, and I think from a fantasy perspective, I think a lot of people are really worried about the park shift for him. And it's not a favorable park shift, but it's not as bad as people think.
Well, it would be worse if he was a lefty, right? Or no. No, that's wrong.
Yeah, but like he's just good. Like he wasn't good because of Safeco. Like it helped him a little bit, but he's still a great pitcher even when you neutralize for it.
No, I have that right. So he's a left-handed pitcher throwing to right-handed batters. That's actually better for Yankee Stadium than if he was a righty throwing, because the short porch is off in the right field.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, it's obviously not a good park shift, but it's not like you can't pitch well there.
No, it's a place where if you are a great pitcher, you can still pitch well there. You know, it's not Coors Field. We're not talking about Kyle Freeland here.
So the one other name that I had who was super deep, who I thought maybe would have a chance if he was able to stay healthy for, you know, even 190 innings, and he's a super deep, but which would be Charlie Morton, basically taking advantage of, you know, the magic that he learned while he was in Houston.
It's funny. We're on a lot of the same guys, I guess. Those odds stuck out to me also. I think Charlie Morton's a very good pitcher. You know, it's going to be another good park for him. I think the Rays are actually going to be kind of sneaky good this year. Like, he's going to get some run support. He's going to have to pitch to some tough teams, which is going to hurt. But they're good odds on Morton. I'm completely fine with that at 50-1.
Yeah, I mean, they have Mike Zunino now, so you know they're definitely gonna up their home runs. Is Zunino a good defensive catcher? I don't even know.
He is. That's a good question. I'm blanking. It's been so long. I think he's slightly above average, maybe.
Yeah, but Morton. So he only pitched 167 innings last year for the Astros, but he had a 28% K rate, which is pretty good. You know, the walks were a little high. I guess, are the Rays sort of similarly inclined to the Astros in terms of being able to improve pitchers that they bring onto the roster? I assume so.
I mean, they did wonders with Tyler Glasnow last year, but, yeah. You know, even if he doesn't improve, even if he just keeps what he learned in Houston, I still think Charlie Morton is one of the best 25 or so pitchers in baseball.
Yeah. Are you a Marcus Stroman guy?
I'm as much of a Marcus Stroman guy as you can be. Like, I think he's boring. You know what you're going to get from him. Throw out his ERA last year, look at his peripherals, and they're the same as they've been for years and years and years. You know, I don't think there's a ton of upside for a guy like that. You know, if I was going to take odds like that, I'd rather have Morton or maybe a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez, who I think has more upside and also great run support at the same odds. You know, Stroman's just kind of there, I think.
Yeah. So the NL Cy Young looks a little bit different this year with, you know, Clayton Kershaw's just really not a part of this equation anymore like he has been for the last, you know, 8 years. And the same goes for Madison Bumgarner. I don't think either one of them really have a realistic chance. I think you'd be a lot better off with someone like Walker Buehler. And it's actually sort of, as someone who's, I'm probably closer to a casual fan than someone who really sweats baseball out day to day, but seeing Strasburg at 30-1 also seems a little jarring to me.
That is a little jarring. He's fallen off a little bit, you know, but 30-1 for Strasburg, I think, is good odds. It's funny. There are some really bad odds on here, like 25-1 Madison Bumgarner. Like, that is just awful. Like, no one should ever place that bet.
Yeah, like, but, you know, with the way baseball betting goes, and especially with player props, as the limits are a little bit lower, you know, no one's getting 10K down on Madison Bumgarner to win the Cy Young. So the books make a little bit more money from a lot of, you know, $75 bets than they would from people getting serious money down. So it makes sense for them to leave the lines. Like, it just, they don't really have a ton of pressure to make them good.
Right.
And the thing with Strasburg is, I mean, the peripherals are, like, always fine. Like, it's not like he's ever, like, had this some horrible season where he couldn't strike guys out or he was walking everyone. Like, he's a good pitcher.
He's a good pitcher. He's going to get good run support. I think Strasburg at 30-1 is one of the better bets on this board.
And there's still probably, like, you know, the guys who vote on these things, if Strasburg has a really good year, the guys who vote on, you know, the winners of the Cy Young and of the MVP awards, I mean, they're going to remember.
Like, they care about Steven Strasburg.
Exactly, right. Like, he's such a big baseball story that, like, a big season from him would carry some weight. Another one that I thought, this one just seemed interesting. Not that I would bet it, but Jack Flaherty's odds were at one point like 50 to 1, 40 to 1, and they got sliced in half. He's now 20 to 1. So what would be behind Flaherty's odds getting like sliced in half for the NL Cy Young?
The thing that would drive it the most is that he's way better than those original odds indicated. Like, that's the same odds that they're giving basically like Jose Quintana and Cole Hamels, who I mentioned earlier, I don't think are very good anymore. Like, Jack Flaherty, he's only had one season, and he's not a guy that really people think about as a great pitcher. Like, a lot of people, you know, might not even know who he is, like, unless you played DFS last year.
Right.
But Jack Flaherty is a legitimately great pitcher. He's like a top 25 pitcher in baseball. He strikes out a bunch of guys. His peripherals were great. Like, he has good stuff. 20 to 1 is approaching, I think, fair level. But if you got in on him early, oh my God, you got some awesome value.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree with that. Anyone else on the NL Cy Young that you thought was interesting?
I thought it was interesting that on both lists, the favorite is not the guy that I would make the favorite. So it was Kluber in the AL, Scherzer in the NL. I think Sale and DeGrom are both better bets. The odds on them are relatively fair, but I think there's maybe a small amount of edge if you wanted to bet on a favorite type of guy. I think both of those are the two best pitchers in baseball, and I would bet them for Cy Young's over Scherzer or Kluber.
It's just not fun to hold those tickets. As someone who's like bet on the Warriors to win the NBA championships the last couple of years, it's just like, it's excruciating to hold a plus 400 ticket for 5 months. Like, it's just miserable. So I would have much more fun betting on, Miles Mikolas at 30 to 1 than I would holding that DeGrom ticket the whole time.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
So, AL MVP, I just didn't even think it was worth discussing. Like,
What were Trout's odds for the AL MVP?
I believe it was plus 200. Honestly, I didn't even bother copying them down. I'll look it up right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, obviously, Trout is the huge favorite. You know, there's probably some guys that you could place long shot bets on, but, like, Trout is just so freaking good.
Has he won every year of his career? Has he ever not won?
No, actually, that's part of why it might actually even be interesting to discuss, because, like, he's only won twice. He's the best hitter in baseball and has been for years, but every single year he loses, because basically the law of large numbers says, like, as good as Trout is, even if he plays to his exact talent level, he's up against, you know, 20 or 30 other great hitters. It only takes one of them to pull a Josh Donaldson or a Jose Altuve or a Mookie Betts, you know, far exceed their expectations, because someone's going to do it and win the MVP over Trout. And it's happened most years, honestly.
I honestly just would have assumed that he'd won it every year. So maybe there is some value in that, you know, and it probably wouldn't be Betts or Judge, but it could be someone like Stanton at 20 to 1 or JD Martinez at 20 to 1. Don't you have JD Martinez very high in the bat, like, overall hitting rankings?
Yeah, JD Martinez projects as the second best hitter in baseball after Trout, according to the bat. And that's park neutralized too. So he plays in Fenway, so he's going to put up better numbers apart from that. So I love JD Martinez in general. He doesn't generate any defensive value, and he is dealing with a back injury, which is worrisome. But 20 to 1 on JD is not bad odds at all.
Yeah, the math that you have there would suggest that at 20 to 1 for AL MVP, you know, really, that I guess that would just take, like, you know, some Trout voter fatigue, the Angels being horrible, Trout suffering a minor injury, and then all of a sudden, you know, JD could be the favorite in the AL, really.
It's realistic, honestly, because, you know, I'm sure Mookie's odds are significantly higher, but Mookie
is actually a slightly worse hitter than JD. Yeah.
And Mookie generates value defensively also, and he's, you know, the bigger name. But, you know, if he regresses and JD posts an awesome year, I could definitely see JD winning over Mookie.
You know what? I'm going to – while we are on the air, I am going to bet JD Martinez for AL MVP. I think at 20 to 1, if he's as good as the projection system that you've built suggests, I think I would be stupid not to do that.
I kind of think so. The biggest thing holding him back for me, honestly, is the injury right now, and I don't know what exactly to make of it, but if he winds up being healthy, those are great odds.
I do know that I saw that he hit today in the spring training game that Boston had?
What happened in the game?
I believe it was the first time that he had been out to actually hit baseballs.
That is a good sign. Hitting baseballs is a good indicator of being able to hit baseballs in the regular season.
And depending on the book, I just logged on to my book, and he's actually deeper than 20-1 on some of these books. So I just got him at 30-1.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
All right. So there we go. We have bets placed. So now for the NL MVP, I think that these seem bad. These odds seem quite bad because you have Bryce Harper as what, the 10th best hitter in the bat?
I think fifth.
Okay, well, maybe not then. He's 6-1 to win NL MVP.
I think given that he just signed this big deal and he's with Philly now and he's probably going to hit some more home runs and he's has this name value, I think I would call him the favorite, but I don't think I would bet those odds on him.
Yeah, 6-1 seems pretty rich. And the other guys, so Arenado at 7-1, has a Rocky ever won NL MVP? Maybe Tulo one of those years?
Yeah, Tulo might have won one. I feel like maybe Todd Helton or Matt Holliday at some point maybe won one, but I don't know. Arenado, I think, is great, but I think people are going to discount him for Coors. Maybe a little too much in this kind of context. But I do like Arenado. Obviously, he's going to put up some of the best numbers, if not the best numbers, of any of these guys this year.
So some of the deeper guys. One, I think actually I'm interested. Where is Yelich at in your hitter rankings?
I think he's eighth in baseball, so he's high. Like he definitely overperformed last year. Like those home runs are coming down. They are like they're definitely coming down. But he still is a really good hitter.
One of the deeper guys. Would be for me Josh Donaldson if he stays healthy the whole season, 40-1. That one seems pretty good to me.
Yeah, assuming he's healthy, which again is no sure thing. He is aging. He has had injury issues in the past, but 40-1 on Donaldson is nice. There's actually quite a few long shots here that I think are really interesting.
Yeah, and he actually, it's worth noting, he has won a league MVP award already.
He has. You kind of mentioned it a little bit with Strasburg earlier. Like, he has that name value. People know who he is. Like, they want to root for him. You know, if he has a really great year, I think that does carry some weight.
Yeah. So, who were some of the deeper names that you liked on this list?
So, there were, I guess, three others that really stood out to me. One is Juan Soto at 30-1. Soto projects as also a top 10 hitter in baseball. He projects basically as the exact same quality of hitter as Christian Yelich, and you're going to get much better odds on Soto. Like, he's young. A lot of people are maybe unsure if he's going to repeat or if he's going to do the same kind of thing or, you know, whatever. But, like, Soto's really, really good. The only issue I have with Soto is that so much of his value is taken up by walks, and traditionally MVP voters are not, like, you know, guys who really tend to reward guys for walks, like they're old school guys who think walks are stupid, you know, a lot of them. But Soto's really, really good. I think 30-1 on Soto is really strong.
I'm surprised to see you be so into a rookie. Normally that is not your stance.
No, it's really not. Usually rookies or you know, the guys who come off the really strong year, like I'm not into them the next year, but there are occasional exceptions, and I think Soto is one of them because he's just really good. Soto projected really great coming into last year. He had one of the best hitter rookie projections I've ever seen the bat give somebody, and he did even better than that. So, like, he projects really well.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Treya at 60-1, just hoping that, you know, he gets 50 stolen bases?
I think that's possible. I don't know how much MVP voters are going to, you know, look at that lineup and, you know, give it to him, you know, based on stolen bases. But maybe if I was placing a bet on a stolen base guy, I think Starling Marte at 50-1 is a guy I'd probably prefer because he's just a stronger hitter than Treya and also a guy who's going to steal a bunch of bases. So I think Marte is a pretty solid value.
It actually probably makes more sense to bet Scherzer to win MVP than it would to bet him to win Cy Young.
So that's interesting. The third guy that I was thinking about betting is DeGrom, because I think DeGrom is better than Scherzer. DeGrom is 50-1, or Scherzer rather is 50-1. DeGrom is 100-1. I think DeGrom is the better pitcher, and you're getting, you know, twice as good odds basically. So
could the Mets win enough games? Like, they would have to win the division, right?
That's kind of the problem. Yeah, like the Mets would have to win the division, which I think is entirely possible. I think it's more likely the Nationals win it, but I do think it's possible the Mets win if, you know, health is really the big thing. It's always the big thing with them. If enough of their guys stay healthy, I think they could contend for the division. And, you know, DeGrom, if he picks up some extra wins this year, which is almost guaranteed, I really think the odds on him are interesting. Now, there's also the other side of it where, like, he was incredible last year. What do you have, like a 1.5 ERA? There wasn't a clear standout NL MVP hitter guy, and he still didn't win. So maybe they're just not going to give it to him or to a pitcher. But 100-1, I'd probably be willing to pay to find out.
Yeah, I mean, last year, 1.7 ERA, only 10 wins, though. Like, he would probably have to win. I mean, he'd have to win a minimum of 15 games to win the MVP.
Yeah, which, I mean, I think I haven't projected for 16 or 17. Like, I don't think 15 wins is outrageous at all. So if the Mets sneak into the division, you know, DeGrom could realistically win this. And are the Mets better than 100-1 to win the division? Like, absolutely. Obviously, there's more to it than that. But, you know, I do think the odds are right for it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. All right, moving on now, we have one that's near and dear to my heart. Well, this is one I want to bet a couple guys on. Most home runs. Interesting to see Stanton and Judge tied both at 8-1 as the co-leaders.
I wasn't necessarily expecting that, especially Stanton coming off kind of the disappointing year he had, Judge coming off the injury. You know, I think they're both fantastic power hitters, obviously, but I wouldn't call them the favorites. I would definitely pass on those bets.
Yeah. The one I wanted to make, clearly, Joey Gallo, 25-1.
I'm glad you said it.
You have to put an army in front of me to get me to not bet that.
Get as much action as possible on Joey Gallo, 25-1. Like, that's just an absurd, absurd line to have for him. He might even be the favorite or something close to the favorite, and you're getting 25-1 on him. Just give me all the action.
I wonder why it's even that deep. Is there any chance of him, like, losing plate appearances this year to anybody?
Not really. Maybe it's just because I really have no idea. Like
I mean, he has 80.
But it's not like this is, like, subjective voting. Like, it's just actual home run tally. So I have no idea. Like, I have a four-way tie for home runs at the top in the bat. It's Trout, it's JD, it's Chris Davis, who are all right below Stanton and Judge, and then I have Joey Gallo tied with those three. So, like, it's just very clear value.
Yeah, that one seems like a no-brainer. Another one that I thought was interesting was Story at 30-1, just because of the park. Like, I just think if you're getting a little bit of those extra cores odds, I can see that one.
Yep, I think Story is a really good hitter. I think 30-1 is perfectly reasonable odds on him. I think 25-1 on Nelson Cruz, obviously not as strong of a bet as Joey Gallo, but 25-1 on Nelson Cruz is still strong odds, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jesus Aguiar at 33-1. I like him also. He's got monster power, and he's in a great park for it.
Does he still play for the Brewers?
Yep.
Wow. I'm impressed with myself that I knew that one. I've been playing MLB DFS for a long time. Normally I do play at least one seasonal baseball league. I have not registered for one yet. Maybe I might co-own one with Sammy Reed, though.
I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. If you have a chance to do it, I would recommend it.
Are you in any of, like, the NFBC or any of the, like, are you in any of the high stakes leagues this year?
I'm in Labor and Tout Wars, which are expert leagues, but not high stakes leagues. I am doing a couple of the NFBC cutline ones, but I haven't done the main event in a couple years. Mostly just a matter of, like, time commitment. You know, most of my time these days does go to DFS and now a little bit to sports betting type stuff. And so I don't play a lot of season-long leagues because I don't want to be stretched too thin, honestly. Like, I want to give the leagues that I play the attention they deserve.
Yeah, makes sense. So the last thing that we have here, some strikeout props. The one I really liked was Severino over 215, but with the injury, that's seeming unlikely.
Yeah, if the injury wasn't a thing, I would love that. But given that, you know, he might only throw 150, 160, 170 innings, that he, you know, he just wouldn't get there with that amount of time.
Another one that I liked was Chris Archer over 210. What do you have on that one?
I have Chris Archer at 207. So,
What? That's thin enough with injury. You'd have to take the under.
Yeah. And that's with 188 innings. So, you know, if he gets over 200, he probably pushes himself over that number. But I think for me, that's either probably a no bet or a slight under.
Yeah, and the last one I saw on this specific offshore book that I thought was interesting was Charlie Morton at 182.5.
That's another one I have is pretty close to a push. I have him 177, it looks like, right now, although that is only in 150 innings, which seems way too low to me. That's what the Fangraphs depth charts have him at. ATC has him at 156. Like, systems just seem to have him relatively conservative in terms of the innings, but if he winds up pushing over those innings, he'll push over those Ks very easily.
Yeah. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to kind of round up here after we got through the betting was I wanted to turn it over to you to talk about some trends or maybe some specific player performances that are likely to surprise MLB DFS players in 2018. Last year, you know, we had the Humidor in Arizona. That was a big deal, kind of the change of how that stadium was going to play. Do you have anything like that this year?
Yeah, it's funny. That's actually the comparison I was going to draw, was that last year we had this thing in the Humidor that was going to be so different than what anyone had come to expect from previous years, and it was just such a big deal. And there were so many dum-dums out there who didn't think it was going to do anything. And it was like this great thing to talk about. We don't have anything like that this year. There's not really a lot of rule changes. There were some talked about rule changes, but none of them are really coming to pass that are going to matter too much. You know, there's not a lot, honestly, in terms of just the overall landscape of the game that's going to change things.
Yeah. Any particular player performances that you are more bullish on than the market?
Yeah. So there's a few guys. Like, I think there's always going to be those under the radar guys that people don't know about. Like, they don't have the name value, and so they don't know what to expect. And when they do well, like, they're not on them right away. There's a bunch of guys like that. A few that come to mind, like, I guess he's getting a lot of hype this spring, but Chris Paddock is a pitcher for the Padres that I love. Like, he has the most outrageously good rookie pitcher projection I have literally ever seen. He projects to be fantastic. He's been great this spring. They're talking about starting him on opening day even, which I don't think happens. But when he comes up, like, he's going to be great. You should have him in all your season-long leagues. In DFS, his first few starts, you know, I'm going to probably have him because he's going to be too cheap. And I think Marlins pitchers are really interesting, especially late in season-long drafts and in DFS. DFS last year, I know the bat was, like, all over some of these, like, you know, mediocre Marlins pitchers. You know, Trevor Richards and Pablo Lopez and Caleb Smith. Wei-Yin Chan, who people wound up getting on towards the end of the year because of his crazy splits. But these are guys who I think are still going to be overlooked and definitely too cheap in DFS because they play for the Marlins and the Marlins are terrible. But these are legitimately good pitchers and they pitch in the best pitcher's park in baseball. And so if people are overlooking these guys, I think there's going to be a lot of value on them once again this year.
Yeah, I think all of that seems mostly reasonable. So wanted to finish it up. Biggest disappointment relative to market valuation right now is going to be who is going to just really bum people out the first month of the season until people figure out that he's not any good.
So I actually posted on Twitter today the bat's most overrated starting pitchers, and there's a bunch of guys you can pick here. Like, we kind of mentioned a little earlier that Madison Bumgarner is probably not very good anymore. I mentioned that some of the Cubs pitchers are probably not very good anymore. You know, Cole Hamels, I think, is going to disappoint some people. John Lester is certainly going to disappoint some people. And honestly, I think the Rockies pitchers, like, everyone is really about Herman Marquez and to a lesser extent, maybe Kyle Freeland because of how good they were last year. but these are still guys, even though they are legitimately really good pitchers, they pitch in Coors Field. Coors Field is not a friendly environment. Like, these guys aren't going to be posting low threes ERAs, which is what some people seem to be expecting. Like, that just isn't a repeatable thing in Coors unless you're Jacob deGrom, and these guys are not Jacob deGrom. So I think people are going to be disappointed in this. And especially, like, I had a bunch of people on Twitter telling me this year that Kyle Freeland is better at home because his numbers over the past year or two.
Right, yeah, that's a good one. The people that insist that the guys who are better pitching in Coors.
Yeah, like, if you're going to be playing Kyle Freeland at home, please take all my head-to-heads. Like, just do it, because you're going to lose. Like, it's just bad.
Yeah. All right, tell people about the bat and where to find it.
Yeah, the bat is my projection system for DFS. It is over at RotoGrinders. You can find links on Twitter, or just go to RotoGrinders. There's a link. Basically, it takes into account everything you could possibly want that affects player performance on a daily basis in baseball. The opposing hitter or pitcher, the bullpen, the exact defensive alignment, umpires, catcher pitch framing, weather condition, wind, air pressure, all that kind of good stuff. Factors it all in and projects how players are going to do. And it's done really well. There are a bunch of studies this offseason that showed it to be the most accurate season-long system of last year. So that was really exciting.
All right, Derek, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun.